You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that little girl told me down by the cold creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine. Ripples in the sweet tide. Rubber's going out of sight. Even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner. Cause I
good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Greg Stamper.
Good morning.
Rolling into the final hour of Real Talk Radio. Phone lines will be open after 9:15, so yep. Go ahead, give us a call. Shoot us a text, 239-337-3776, 239-337-ESPN. And I'm going to hop on over to line two. Because we've got Captain Steve Johnson standing by with the tournament and event rundown. Hey, Steve!
Hey, good morning, Captain Debbie and Captain Greg.
Hey, what's up, Steve?
Hey, not much. How's it going?
Good.
It's going good. Steve, how was your week?
My week was great. I just want to give a shout-out to Captain Alex. It's his birthday today.
Yep.
I don't know if
it is.
That yet.
Yeah, we but, did earlier in the show. Oh, happy birthday, Captain Alex Delinsky.
Yes, spot on charters.
Yeah. So, Steve, what's the latest? What's going on in the tournament and event world? You're going to give us the quick rundown this morning?
Well, we've got a great event coming up the 17th of this month in June here locally in the Fort Myers area. Our friends at Masturbate and Tackle have got the Red Roundup that they're doing. I think it's their first annual one that they're going to do for Red Grouper.
Yeah.
So it should be a great event. So check that out and get offshore to do that. We also have on June the 17th, we have the Flats Masters Tournament Series number 2 event. That's out of the Punta Gorda area. And on the 24th, we've got the MBG, or Maverick Boat Group, Southwest Florida Owners Tournament, and that is happening at Tarpon Lodge out on Pine Island. So always a great event for the guys that own the Maverick boats and stuff like that. So check that out. A little bit north of us in the Central West area, we've got coming up on June the 10th, we've got the Inshore Slam. Pasco County firefighters coming out of Port Richey. We also have another firefighter event on the 10th. It's the 16th annual Fire Charity Fishing Tournament out of Palmetto. On the 17th, we've got the Suncoast Tarpon Roundup. This is their second leg and happens out of St. Pete. And on the 24th, we've got the 35th annual Ladies Teal Carpet Fishing Tournament, and that is also out of St. Pete. So not sure exactly how they got the name.
The Teal Carpet Tournament.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Got to be some background to that.
There's got
to
be a backstory there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have to look that one up.
For sure. Over on the East Coast, we got a few things happening. Coming up next week on the 9th, we've got the second annual Cast for Kids, St. John's County. That is happening in St. Augustine. On the 17th, we've got the Indian River Firefighters Benevolent Association. They're having their second annual offshore fishing tournament out of Sebastian. We also have on the 17th the Reel in the Fun out of Ormond Beach. I believe that's a kids event. And we also have another kids event, the 9th annual ARC fishing tournament, and that is in Stewart area. On the 24th, we've got the 5th annual Tom Lloyd Veteran Fishing Tournament, and that is out of Daytona Beach. Now, down the Keys, dolphin must be running down there because we got a ton of dolphin tournaments happening. So, coming up Monday, the 5th, we've got the Don Holloway Invitational Tarpon Tournament. On the 9th, we've got the Ladies Dolphin Tournament out of Tavernier. On the 14th, we've got the 45th annual Ladies Tarpon Fly Tournament. So, something a little bit different. Ladies Tarpon on Fly. So, it's kind of an interesting event. On the 16th, we've got the 11th annual Dolphin Fishing Tournament out of Key West. And on the 17th, we've got the 37th annual Father's Day Dolphin Derby out of Marathon. On the 19th, we've got the 60th annual Gold Cup Tarpon Tournament out of Isla Mirada. Also on the 19th, we have the Stock Island Marina Village out of Key West. They've got a Marlin Tournament happening that week, so some of the big boats will be running that, probably big money in that tournament.
I'm sure.
On the 23rd, we've got the second annual Florida Keys PBA Charity Dolphin Tournament, and that is in Key West as well. So a couple more later in the month on that. Up in the Panhandle, we've got one event that we've got coming up in the middle of the month here on the 17th. We've got the Kingfish Shootout and Red Snapper, and that's out of Carabel up in the Panhandle area. So quite a few tournaments down the Keys for sure, a few things happening here locally. So check it out. If you've got any tournaments coming up that you don't see on our website at fish-florida.com, shoot me an email, shoot me a text. Be glad to get it up for you. I do get quite a few emails from people these days, so word is getting out. We'd like to try to get them up there and get them in one place. It is a saltwater, primarily saltwater tournament event calendar that we keep up there, and love to keep everybody informed.
Well, you're going to have to start a separate freshwater calendar, Steve.
I'm struggling just to keep up with the saltwater tournament.
Yeah, I know. I know you stay busy. I'm totally giving you a hard time.
Sure.
But thank you so much for the update. We appreciate that.
Yep. And one final thing. We've got the we do have the CCA Star Tournament measuring devices at Lear's. They came in finally.
I was going to say, because they were on, it was on the CCA Star website. I know last week I asked you that question. You said Lear's didn't have them, but you guys were listed on the website. So I'm glad to hear that you got them in up there.
Go
and I need to stop by and get mine.
Go get them.
So
get them up and get involved. It's very economical to do that. And check it out. It's a great, great tournament.
Definitely. All right, Steve. Thank you.
Later,
we'll
Steve.
We'll catch up with you next Saturday. All right.
See you, Greg. See you.
Take care. Bye,
right.
Steve.
Bye.
All right. We are going to head over to line one because George's ears must have been ringing this morning.
That's exactly what he said.
George.
I said,
what's
we
going
were just
on,
talking
George?
About you.
Oh, George.
Well, speaking of the
our
legend
ears were
himself.
Burning this morning, so I said something must be being said about us, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. So, you know, we had to give you a call and make sure, number one, you made it across Alligator Alley last night or 41 and make sure you got there in one piece and you got to your show this morning.
Barely. You know what? I was driving home and I ran over a Burmese python and then my truck skidded off the side of the road.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But I made it, George. I made it.
You really ran over a python?
No, I was just teasing you.
I was about to say it's one step better than a skunk ape. Could have hit a skunk.
Well,
that's her levity.
That was gonna be my next comment. But no, made it home safe and sound. Lots of caffeine involved this morning here in the studio, and I can't thank you enough for letting me tag along on the fishing adventures this past week. That was a blast.
No doubt about it. It was a fun having you there, and you did a super job from the yellow tailing to the beautiful mutton snapper catch to the mahi. So you did a super job across the board. And what it's humorous. It seemed like the biggest catch of the trip was this morning. You left your wedding ring bands here.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Thanks for keeping those safe for me.
Well, actually, I can't honestly say we kept them safe. I mean, I did have to pay for the gas and the goggle eyes and all that, but so we did get a free tank of fuel and 6 dozen goggle eyes for
Oh,
it.
Nice.
So we did trade
okay.
it out.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully those goggle eyes catch some really great fish. Hopefully you catch a nice big bull mahi on one of those goggle eyes.
Yeah, well, anyway, well, we have those in a safe holding for you. And, you know, too bad you had to run home to make the show. Diego put on an incredible feast over his place with the fried yellowtail and the black beans and rice. It was, quite the feast. So we did, everybody missed you there for that one.
Well, I'm so bummed I missed out on that. Yeah, and oh my gosh, the dinners that we had two nights in a row it was Boondocks on Wednesday night. And then Thursday night we were at Kiki's Sandbar and really great food there. So highly recommend for anyone who's making a trip down to, they're both on Summerlin Key. Isn't that correct, George?
Yeah. Cudjoe Summerlin area.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. In the general vicinity.
Lower Keys area. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that was the whole trip was just an awesome experience, and Always learn a ton when I'm out there with you, and it was a blast fishing with Diego. He and I had worked together on some Take Me Fishing projects years ago, so it was great catching back up with him, too.
Well, that was. It was a fun trip for everybody, and then, of course, there'll be an episode coming up in 2024, so everyone can see exactly what happened out there.
Yeah, they'll have to turn, and that's going to be on the Discovery Channel.
Yes.
Yep.
And saltwater fishing, you know, we run January through June. So as you know, we're making our episodes now for 2024.
Yep.
And you will see all the action unfold. You're going to live the trip twice.
Yes. And then also for people who may not be aware, is it public knowledge that the seminar series is heading back on the road?
Yep, it is public knowledge, and the Saltwater Sports and Seminar Series will take to the road again. We have a full 8-stop national tour. It kicks off January 24, and we open in Fort Myers. And my co-host is this angling personality. I don't know if you've heard of her. Debbie Hansen.
Oh, my gosh. No way. Not her. I'm not coming.
Well, better or worse, she's going to be my co-host for the opening of the tour at Fort Myers. And so looking forward to doing that one. You know, we did three years of the televised edition of the seminar series.
Yeah.
Because of the COVID deal. And now we're going to be coming back on the road and see how much rust we have on us and how many rats chewed up the screens in our cases. So there's a lot of... making sure we're all 100% ready for it.
That'll be a great one, though. It'll be cool when you're down here.
Yeah, and real quick, George, for those who haven't gone to a seminar series event in the past, talk a little bit about the format.
It's the nation's number one saltwater educational seminar of its kind. We are into year 37 now of the seminar series, and it's a one-day sport fishing seminar geared to the region in which it's being held. We have national personalities coming in as faculty members, and we pair ourselves up with local fishing authorities, which will give the seminar a slant to the region in which it's being held. And we discuss everything, you know, the key saltwater game fish, everything from the how-tos, where-tos, little subtleties and tricks. As far as a ton of information cram-packed into one day, there's been nothing like it. And like I said, you could talk about the accolades forever, but the biggest selling point of the seminar series is here we are in year 37 with it, and if it was not a winning deal, we certainly wouldn't be around for 37 years.
Right.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And when do tickets go on sale? So when can people go online and
we're
actually
officially announce the tour in the November issue of Saltwater Sportsman? So
gotcha.
When the November issue comes out, there'll be a big color spread. And then we'll have the website ready to go on all 8 locations across the country, who the faculty members will be, the topics, where people could order the tickets from. And so November is going to be the big drumroll official announcement to it.
Cool.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that's...
George, I'm sure you'll have some radio salesman that might do Saturday morning shows, maybe mention it a little bit in November as well.
Salesman.
Well, I sort of have a hunch. This may be, right?
It's perfect.
I'm not a salesman.
You know, you'll be talking about it, though, right?
We will definitely share more information as it gets closer.
And don't worry, George,
I've got Debbie on as my co-host there. So like I said, she's done a number of these seminars, and you know, she definitely has the knowledge that she could sit up there and grill a lot of these faculty members and talk the talk. So we're going to give her the ball and have her play the game.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a blast. It'll be an absolute blast. But you know what? I got to say, I am still in disbelief that, totally switching gears, about that mutton that we got yesterday. Here we are fishing that wreck, and we're targeting permit, and all of a sudden I'm like, this fish isn't run like a permit. What's going on? And it ended up, how big do you think that mutton was, George?
Somewhere around 80, 90 pounds.
Right. Yeah, it was. Yeah, absolutely. Great answer.
Yeah, that's a good one.
At which point I'm getting ready to, we're getting ready to take the hook out. And George is like, yeah, it's too bad they're out of season.
Oh. and I said as a joke, but she actually believed me. And then she said, shall we release the fish?
I know nothing.
Hold the fish now for 10 minutes. The fish was dead. Yeah. Release it. Yeah. Why? It's like, close season? No,
I know.
I'm just kidding you.
Well, we will definitely make that for dinner tonight.
Yeah, I don't know if that was. I don't know if that was some of that in the bag. I haven't even opened the Ziploc bag yet.
No, you were such in a hurry to get back on the road that you ended up with a tilefish and the mahi, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, it looked like there was. I could tell there was mahi in that bag, but I didn't know what else was in there. Okay, good to know.
What happened is Diego cooked the yellowtails last night. And then Rob and I are taking a side home of the snapper that you caught, so we're going to have the snapper tonight.
Nice.
Well, good for you guys. Enjoy.
Hey, so look at it this way. We've got your wedding rings and your snapper and everything.
You guys got all the good stuff. I see how it goes.
But we'll enjoy tonight. But that was really something, thrown into the permit. You had that hookup, and I powered away, and it seemed like that fish got you rocked up. And I thought, we're going to break off in the wreck because it was real. Those fish were on the wreck, and I kept powering away, and somehow it came out of there. And then from that point, I just saw the bend in the rod. I said, it wasn't really running like a permit, and, we finally got it up for a close enough look, and I looked down there, and it's just a mutton snapper. So, that was quite the surprise catch. Ate a live crab, and it was perfect catch.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool, and it's just, it was absolutely beautiful down there yesterday. Great conditions, beautiful turquoise blue water. So, now's the time to head down to the Keys, right? Some good fishing going on.
Absolutely. But that little depression is supposed to come through the weekend here. So it's supposed to be rain and everything starting up, I think, tomorrow. The next day, nothing bad. But apparently, Arlene is going to come down on the coast and hang a left somewhere and come up the other side. So we had a good window.
Yeah, well, We don't need any more of those tropical storms headed this way. That's for sure.
No, I know you don't. For sure.
We'll pass on that. All right, George, thank you so much for calling in. It was great to hear from you this morning. And again, thanks so much for having me along for the ride. And give my best to Diego.
Cool.
Will do. It was a fun time.
Definitely. All right, George, have a great rest of the weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Okay. Lines.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was George Poveromo checking in this morning, the one, the only. So we really have some catching up to do as far as useless information. I'm surprised Gator Tom's not having a conniption fit.
Yeah, me too. But, maybe even Gator Tom has enough reverence for George Poveromo of all
should.
People.
The
guy's like just fishing royalty, right?
Exactly.
So thank you for your patience, Gator Tom and everyone else. But I think we're ready here.
Okay. Yes. We also just got a shout out from Female Ref.
I'm really tired of you.
Are you talking?
I'm sorry.
I know. I interrupted the useless information.
Right. That's
all
right.
I just said we just got a shout out from Female Ref, too. But I'll read off her text.
Okay.
Later.
I know they're looking forward to the Everblade series.
That's what they were saying.
Big Blades.
Yeah.
Fans.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right.
Rick.
Let's go. That's all right.
I know. I have the attention span of a squirrel.
I've grown tired of you. What's wrong with you? You are useless.
Useless.
And now from the totally awesome book of useless information. Here's your host and mine, Captain Debbie Hansen, with useless information.
And this is the Absolutely Amphibians edition of useless information.
Amphibians.
Yeah, so keep in mind, this was conjured up in the wee hours the morning.
After a long day.
After a very long couple of days.
Yes. All right.
And we're going to kick it off with the fact that toads don't have teeth, but frogs do.
Toads don't have teeth, but frogs do.
Yeah, frogs
do. Are you sure?
Yeah, frogs
do.
Wow.
Frogs have really tiny, tiny teeth. They're
really?
Like less than a millimeter long.
Wow.
They do have tiny teeth that help them swallow their prey.
I mean, I'm blown away.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't you think they'd be almost exactly the same?
You would think.
I thought toads had some teeth in them. I'm going to check that.
Greg's going
to double check just to make sure that all of my facts are 100% valid. Did not have time to cross check, but I'm going to go with it.
I have a feeling Greg's going to be googling.
All right, number 2, Kermit the Frog is left-handed.
Oh god.
He's left-handed, which is actually true of most Muppets because The puppeteer usually operate the Muppets with their dominant hand.
Wow.
Therefore, the puppet is, you know, uses the other hand.
That's amazing.
That makes sense.
There you go.
I can't wait.
I don't know.
I'm just going to have
Could that
seek out an episode of the...
It's not bordering on useful.
Totally,
no, it's useless.
Totally useless.
How did they find out he's left-handed? Was he, like, writing something down?
He must
be left-handed.
Well, he probably gestures, you know, like they're always
with
moving
his left hand.
Yeah,
all the
there
time.
You go.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we got to go back and watch the Muppet movie to confirm.
I'm going to be watching carefully now.
Yeah, you know you're going to be. All right, and then last but not least, some frogs can jump over 20 times their own body length.
Tree frogs.
I don't know which frogs those
tree
are,
frogs. Yeah,
but
that,
some can.
That I believe, because, I mean, yeah, there's been a few times I've been accosted by frogs out
those
here.
Cuban tree frogs, they
the
can
hell
jump
out of
far.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like during rainy season, you know, out back here, when there's a light on and it's dark, the bugs congregate, and that brings the frogs.
Yeah.
And sometimes you step out there, and they're just like, it seems like they're just flying across your face, you know, like, hey, frog, back off. So I believe that.
I know. And we've got, man, we have a couple of those non-native invasive frogs that are
the cane toads.
The cane toads are bad news. Yeah,
you know,
we've got Cuban tree frogs.
The apartment complex I live in, about every couple of months, they actually do. They let you know there's going to be cane toad hunters out there. So if you see someone with a headlamp in the middle of the night, don't be concerned. They're hunting cane toads.
I wish we could shoot live ammo in our neighborhood. I could have a blast.
Some cane toad.
I would have a field day. I'd be driving around in my car doing it out of the window. It'd be fun.
All right. I think we're due for a break,
aren't we?
Yeah. All right. We're heading off. You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida at ESPNSWFL.com and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app, presented by Sportsman's Wholesale, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and the Twisted Fork. We'll be back.
In the sand, not a worry and a world of cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
I used to think maybe you love me. Now, baby, I'm sure.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Greg Stamper.
Good morning. Good morning.
Fishing is life!
There it is.
Had to do it. Because, you know, this is the last episode. Actually, I think this past Wednesday was the last episode of Ted Lasso.
Yes. I'm a season behind, so I will not be watching this.
Yeah, you got to get caught up. Come on. You got to get with the program. Yeah. And getting back to the text from Female Ref, she was checking in, and she says, good morning, Captain Debbie and Captain Greg. Since the Everblades are playing the Idaho Steelheads, Sheeman and Shepard wanted you to talk about what a steelhead is.
It's kind of funny because Craig didn't even know it was a fish.
It's a trout. It's a steelhead trout.
Yeah. Well, being a Minnesotan, I'm well familiar with steelhead.
If I'm not mistaken, and I don't know.
It's part of the rainbow trout.
It is actually a rainbow trout, but I believe it's when they migrate in during a certain time of year.
They live in fresh
and
salt.
Migration.
A steelhead comes from doesn't.
I do not fish for steelhead. I never have. I'm not going to proclaim to be a steelhead expert. I do know it is a rainbow.
If it's
trout.
It's a rainbow trout. I guarantee you can catch it on salmon eggs.
Okay, good to know.
Because I fished for rainbow trout in Lake Tahoe when I was a little tiny kid, and we used the little jarred salmon eggs.
Well, there you go.
We caught them.
I know a lot of people pursue steelhead on fly, and mostly the Washington over on the West Coast. Yeah.
I've never caught one on fly. But I've caught one on a salmon egg, so I would make a salmon egg fly.
Okay, good to know. There you go. All right, so we've got a birthday boy standing by on line one.
Do we?
Yeah, we need to grab his call. Captain Alex!
Good morning.
Hey, what is going on, birthday boy?
So when the heck did I become... Seems like yesterday I was the youngest captain in Estero Bay, and now 2 days later I'm the oldest SOB in the bay. What's up with that?
Well, it catches up with you. Time does catch up.
I don't like that.
This is your 39th birthday, right?
Closer to 59, but yes. I'll take 39.
Well, you're not supposed to tell anyone that, Alex.
I got a few years for that number, but I'm getting there.
You started fishing Estero Bay when you were like 10, right?
14.
You know, by the way, Captain Alex, our friend Gator Tom stopped by this morning, and he was carrying a cake like he always is.
He brought you a birthday cake.
And I said, what's the cake for? He goes, for Alex's birthday. I go, you know he's not here, right? But so we have a birthday cake for you. I think we should deliver that to Alex.
That's you guys eat it. That would be the best cake for me is if you all eat it.
Funny. Hey, Alex.
I'm ruining all my walking and exercise.
I don't know if you guys are all aware, but Alex came across something pretty crazy this week when he was
Alex,
not that far off.
Yes. Far. So you were in 30-some feet of water, correct? Tell us what you saw when you were out there with your clients.
I don't mind telling everybody where I was because everybody sometimes thinks that our warm, shallow waters, it doesn't happen. But we were cobia fishing on the DK, which is a Doc Klein reef. That's about, 6 miles off Sanibel, 10 to 12 from Big Carlos, Fort Myers Beach. And I was on a private charter with a private client, and we had like five people on board, all five hooked up on cobia almost exactly the same time. We got four of those to the boat, and I'm actually leaning over, gripping one with a glove, and somebody yells, shark. I look behind the boat, maybe 75 feet, and this shark is massive. So I'm thinking hammerhead or tiger.
Yeah.
And it came right up top. It must have heard or felt the action going on near the boat. It came over and took a good shot of us, and it was a great white. I'm trying to be very conservative, but it's probably between 10 and 14 foot long. I was in a 35-foot boat. We were in, 32 foot of water, and fish was big. There was a 21 bay boat out next to me, and it looked, three quarters of the size of that boat, if not bigger. But I've seen three in my life in the Gulf of Mexico. This is number four that I 100% could identify.
Yeah.
But never one that close, that shallow. And it was, I'm assuming it was a male. I don't know much about him, but it was smaller, wasn't as fat. But it was just absolutely beautiful, very graceful, and
you didn't ask it.
Was just so nice to see.
You didn't ask it what it was, or is that not politically correct these days?
What's that?
You didn't ask it if it was a male or female.
That's it. I didn't see a rainbow or anything like that, so who knows? But I'm assuming the bigger ones are females. But
yeah,
cause I've seen one. I saw one on a dive when I was in the Keys coming up off of a wreck, and she was like 18 feet, and the guys in the boat said it was a female, and it definitely had more girth than this one, but it just was absolutely beautiful, and it was nice to see that. And
that's cool. A lot shallower than you would ever think.
Yeah.
Well, and water was like 85 degrees, so just think about that. And, I don't know if this storm in the Gulf pushed them in, or like Greg and I were talking about it, was he following the schools of cobia?
Yeah.
But, think about that. He was darn near half the length of the water was deep, and that's just a big fish. And for the guys that spearfish out there, I mean, I've done probably 100 shark dives in my life and never had where we actually fed the sharks back when we could do that and dive and never had an issue. So they don't scare me, but something like that, I don't care who you are, is intimidating.
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh my gosh. Heck yeah.
Yeah. No, no, thank you. Not something I want to see if I'm in the water, but from a boat, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my heart was pounding just seeing it from the boat. I don't mind saying that.
Yep.
But so awesome. You guys didn't get any pictures or video, Alex, though,
no,
right?
It happened so quick, and I had four guys with fish on, and those were my concern. And I actually got one of the guys did and took a video, but you can't even see what it is. It's just too far away on a cell phone.
Yeah. In addition to the shark sighting, give us a quick fishing report from the past week.
Well, I did one bay trip and two offshore or nearshore trips. Both have been good. Yesterday, we released 3 of 4 redfish and 1 snook, both on cut bait and live shrimp under the bushes. And then the reef trips, which were basically I was fishing 50 foot or less, one ledge and a couple reefs, and we got cobia on 3 of the stops and plenty of snapper moving in, the mangroves that are, you know, pretty decent size, 14 to 21, 22 inches in that shallow water. So it's been good action out there. And
nice.
That was all also scaled down leader and live shrimp on both the cobias and the snappers.
What size cobia, Alex?
What size 30 range inches to probably 44. I'm ashamed to say we didn't keep a 1 because we were out just for fun.
Yeah.
And that's probably one fish that's hard for me to let go, but we didn't even measure them, gaff them. That's why I was actually just put a glove on and was trying to lip them to get them in the boat so I wouldn't hurt them.
That's fine.
But you know, we weren't intentionally fishing for them, but we had 3 reef stops, and all 3 stops we had cobia on, and 2 of the boats around us, same thing. So they're definitely moving through.
So apparently there's a few cobia out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
and
that's
not fishing for them, and we're catching them. And we were getting them off the bottom. We never saw them come through.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, Alex, about maybe 2 weeks ago, or give or take, I was tarpon fishing off the beach, and a giant ray went by, and it had a cobia on its back. So it's that time.
Absolutely. They're heading north now to cooler water.
Yep.
So.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Thank you.
I hope that you're going to get out and do something fun to celebrate today.
I did.
Somebody needs to take you fishing.
I bought a toy and I rode it from here to Marco and back in this beautiful, cool weather this morning. So
good for you.
Is made. So
there you go. Good for you. Yep. Well, congratulations on your new purchase.
Thank you.
You just better be safe out there when you're riding that thing.
Yeah, well, I got a helmet for you, so we'll get you out there, too.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
You can drive to the Keys.
I'll stick to the water.
I'll put a rod holder on it just for you.
Oh, nice. Okay. In that case, then maybe.
There you go.
All right, Alex. Well, thanks for checking in. Happy birthday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you. Y'all take care, and God bless.
You too, Alex. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That is Captain Alex Dolinsky of Spot On Charters checking in this morning.
Good stuff. Great white. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, super cool. Well, and then I know you can go to that website. It's like OSearch, and they have a sharked great white tracker.
Yeah, I talked to him when he, the night of him seeing it, he said it did not have a tag in it. So it just goes to show you don't really know where they are and what's out there.
No.
You know?
No.
You just don't know.
No, that's pretty darn shallow.
I know I haven't seen any great whites where I've been fishing.
It
would be pretty hard for him to get into that skinny water.
No, but I remember your story about when you were wade fishing for snook off Sanibel and you got bumped by a bull shark.
Oh, I got bumped by a bull shark there. Yeah, that was one of the scariest things I've ever had. Actually, that wasn't Sanibel. That was off the Sanibel Rocks fishing for snook. It was one of those days when the fishing was insane. We were popping snook left and right. I mean, we damn near probably caught 50 snook.
So it was
that
probably
day.
About this time of year.
Yeah, I'd say it was probably July. If I just in my head, it was probably in that ballpark. And I was waist deep. There used to be rocks and there used to be some weeds and stuff that were growing there that weren't covered up or anything. And fish were just so thick. We were just trying to wade to where they were and throwing them. And sometimes they were close to shore and sometimes we had to go out a little bit. And sure enough, that thing came right. It never didn't bite me, but it bumped me almost like we ran into each other. And I don't know if I went backwards faster than the shark went the other way, but we both went the other way as fast as humanly possible. But the fishing was so good, I got back in there and started fishing about 20 minutes later after I calmed down a little bit.
Yeah, I got to give you credit for that. I don't know that I would have gotten back.
We've seen a lot of sharks we've seen a lot of sharks everywhere I've been fishing as of late. Everything from your nurse sharks to sand sharks to shovel nose. Not as many shovel nose, actually. Seen some nice hammerheads, seen some big bulls. Because, you know, when you're tarpon fishing, these big sharks, they're basically looking for big prey, and a tarpon qualifies as big prey.
And if you're fishing catfish tails, a lot of times you're getting sharks for bycatch.
Well,
that's just part of it.
More if I'm, I catch more sharks when I'm using like the cut ladyfish than I when I'm
do
using,
you more oh, than the yeah. catfish?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Or like you know, dead shad, thread fins, whatever it might be. They like they'll pick that stuff up before they'll pick up a catfish tail. I mean, let's be honest, there ain't a lot of things that eat catfish, but tarpon is one of them. Tarpon will. Tarpon definitely will. So we did that this whole week, and you know, when I had that chance to go up to Pine Island and fish up there, I got to fish in some of my old stomping grounds, and it was really cool to be back in a different area that I hadn't been in quite some time. And when I mean my old stomping grounds, like we didn't go into the Coosahatchee River. I would have liked to. I would have liked to see what the river mouth was like. But we went up through the Pine Island side on the what would be the west side of Pine Island, kind of like between like 40 Acre and Big Panther. We fished that whole area up there, and man, it was just full of trout. The grass flats, I really missed that beautiful grass, you know, that we don't have in Estero Bay.
Yeah,
and we caught some nice snook and some nice redfish.
We can talk more about that. We got to head off to a break.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's that time. More with Greg when we come back. You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida at ESPNSWFL.com and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app presented by Sportsman's Wholesale, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and the Twisted Fork. We'll be back.
I heard Davy Crockett had a pint in his pocket, good whiskey at the Alamo. Now I bet Pancho Villa had a jug of tequila when he walked the streets of old Mexico.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio with Captain Greg Stamper.
I saw you Snook bobbing your head to this, Debbie, and I'm wondering
I
if maybe
love
you...
love me some Journey.
I'm kind of wondering if maybe you regret not saving your fishing as life for this song. But
I was
just
about to belt it out.
Yeah,
but
that's,
but since I did earlier,
yeah,
you can't overdo
exactly.
The fishing is life.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it starts to lose its effect. But, man, Steve Perry is my hero. Love Steve Perry.
Yeah.
Remember when he actually he came out with he did the, he actually had a pretty successful solo career.
Yeah, he had a real successful solo career.
Yeah, and then
really
who
did.
Didn't somebody else take over as the lead singer of Journey for a while?
I don't know his name, but they've had the same singer for like 20 years now cuz it's Steve Perry's been gone that long. But yeah, they have a different guy who the Journey fans seem to love him, you know.
Yeah.
They're still touring. Yeah. Still got a couple of original members and a new singer, and you know.
Yeah,
still
I thought I saw they were
that's
still
what it's all about, Greg.
Yeah,
making that
and I want to thank Gator Tom for dropping off a drumstick on a keychain.
A drumstick on a keychain.
Yeah, I have no idea what I would do with. I mean, maybe I could use it for.
Does it float?
Bait.
Could be like your, for the key in the boat.
There you go. That's a good idea.
No, actually, it's pretty heavy. It's not, that's definitely not going to float.
All right.
Nope.
Never mind.
So, Greg, we've got about 10 minutes left and before we wrap things up here this morning. You had started to talk about the differences between, you know, the areas where you used to fish, up closer to Matt Lachey, Pine Island area, and Estero Bay.
I don't remember what I was talking about. the differences. Well, I missed being up there. So we went up and around, we went down through the southern end of Pine Island and, you know, once we got past Regula, I'm like, well, let's just start hitting some of the spots, you know, in the areas that we used to play in. Because, you know, when you're only up there once in a while, instead of just exploring, you're going to go to the areas that you know you've always found fish in or that have been successful points or drop-offs or whatever. And not a lot has really changed in there. You know, we started up in 40 Acre, which if anybody who fishes that area is kind of like, near regular, no starts. And we got into some snook and some redfish, and then we got out in the flat real quick, and we started popping trout right away. And there's plenty of trout up there. There's definitely way more trout north of the Caloosahatchee River right now than there are anywhere in Estero Bay. Estero Bay has trout right now. They just started coming back, but they're all very small, which there's nothing wrong with small if you just want action. But if you want some fish that are in the upper or mid or low 20s, upper teens, low 20s, Pine Island Sound, that area is going to be where you want to be right now from the power lines.
Do you attribute that to the fact that there's still some turtle grass up in that area?
100%. There's no doubt the lack of turtle grass and grassy flats in general. We have flats that have grass. Our grass is some turtle grass, a little bit here and there, very patchy. And we have this other type of grass, I can't remember what it's called. It's kind of like matty looking. It really sucks through your cast net on it. But it doesn't, it's not the same. It doesn't hold the same amount of prey, of you know, bait fish. What else is in there? Crabs. Different types of shrimps. It just doesn't have as much in it. So that's definitely not going to have as many trout in it. But we also went up there and we kept moving forward. And then we jumped across. We went all the way across because we had 8 hours.
Did you get into any redfish?
Yeah, the redfish were all kind of up past, for me, were up past the north Captiva area. So we started basically on the, because the wind had shifted for us. So that's a nice shoreline to be when it's coming from the west. So we started up around kind of like around the Narrows, if people know where that is, which is near Cabbage Key. And we worked our way across over almost to, what would that be, Mondago, Patricio, those areas. So we were fishing the east sides of islands on the west winds, and we had a lot of real good success. We threw shrimp, we threw whitebait. There was lots of
whitebait.
Now remind
me, what day were you out? Because so the start of the week we had some north winds, which actually cooled things down a little bit.
That was 4 days ago, 5 days ago. Let's see. I've done 2 tarpon trips after that. Oh, that might have been 6 days ago.
It was the middle of the week.
I'd have to pull up my calendar. I don't really have time to look at it right now. But I'd say 6 days ago we were up there. And the fit, man, it was great. We had some phenomenal days. And then we had some really, really phenomenal mornings here for tarpon just off our beaches. We had one morning where we had 2 fish in the air in the first 20 minutes, which, you know, that you already know, like that's happening. It's going to be one heck of a day. We end up not cooking a real nice fish that was just around, I'd say 100 pounds. The client did a great job, took him about 30 minutes. And after he finally got to the boat, he was like, we can go do something else now. So then
we're using catfish or ladyfish?
Those 8 cats. We ate catfish. We used catfish tails that morning. I had other baits, but when we jumped to right away immediately on the cats, stick with it. So we put out others and we got bit, and sure enough, you know, if you go home 1 for 3 and you've only been fishing for an hour and a half, you're doing a good job. That's great. And then we went in the back and we caught some small redfish. We talked about this years ago where I said we had all these big redfish. We had no juveniles, right? And that was 2 years ago. Okay. Now, guess what we don't have now?
Because you're not seeing many redfish at all in Estero Bay right now.
We're catching them, but we do not have those lower mid slot to upper slot slightly overfish anymore. That slot size that 2 years ago when I was worried about not catching any small ones has now reached the point where these fish would have been our upper slot fish.
Yeah.
And so we truly, and no, I don't know, people didn't buy into it, but guess what? I have proof now.
Do you attribute that to, was that during that bad red tide period that we had?
I think we had water quality issues that were 4.5, 5 years ago, whatever that, I'm trying to, you know, piece it together in my head real quick here. Then we lost an entire year, roughly, or year and a half of fish via red tides, water quality issues, whatever it was. Then we were missing that gap. So we basically have like this 4-inch gap moving up a ruler of fish that are missing. And then guess what will happen next year? Next year, around this time, I guarantee it, we're not going to be finding a lot of oversized fish.
Yeah, well, and thankfully, more people now are on board with catch and release, so there's fewer people keeping fish.
Yeah,
and we have tighter regulations.
Yes,
so
catch and release is getting way better.
All good things.
Yes, yeah. it's getting way better,
and the water quality looks so much better. Hallelujah. We're moving in the right direction.
It is. It's good right now. There's no doubt about it. So, yeah. So that's kind of what, you asked what I did last week. I fished in Estero. I fished for a lot of tarpon because that's what people want to do right now. And then I had the opportunity to go fish in the old stomping ground, which was really, really cool. I forget how much better they've got it up north than us in Estero Bay. But it was so much more. It was so much easier fishing up there. It was just like, hey, there should be fish here. Oh,
hey,
fish
here. Sometimes when you got to work a little harder, it makes you a better guide. You got to really tune into what's going on. I mean, I used to love fishing the Everglades. I still do, but you kind of feel like it's just there are days when. There's not a whole lot of strategy to it. I kind of like having to really think about, okay, where are these fish likely to be based on the conditions at this particular time? And, when those water levels get down in the Everglades, it's kind of like you just go and you're seeing so many different species and it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. I love it, but
give me the easy days.
You also want to learn something. Oh my gosh.
No, thank you. Give me the easy days. Let my clients catch fish nonstop. I'm good for that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Oh, there it is.
It's that time again. We got to go. Thank you, Rick Church, the director of the show, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls. Greg, thank you for being here this morning.
No problem.
Yes. Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday. Same place, same time. Have a great weekend.
I'm sorry it's ended, oh, it's sad, but it's true, honey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.